So my comfy chair doesn't fit.
I'm J.R. Phillips. I'm the one that won't shut up, and yeah, you can't make me, okay?
And I'm Nico Harlequendon. I'm the one who took notes, lit them on fire, and then started a completely separate new project instead.
And welcome to BAM! Now you know everything!
Well, I was like, I want to get like lights. So what I'm thinking about doing back here is like hanging up some of the artwork from the mini collections. And yeah, so like after everyone goes out, like I'll have another one up, like I'll place it up, I'll ceremoniously. But I need to get my desk first. I have to get my third desk. Okay. I just need.
Well, yeah. You were telling me about that. So you're getting a standing desk. What? Why three desks though? Did you say that?
Your face is so concerned. I did.
That's just so many.
So when we bought this house, I needed a desk and a new gaming setup. So I had to buy like a monitor. I bought this microphone. Because I didn't want to go back to headsets for gaming. I liked having the own microphone. I liked it being separate, less problematic. I'm sure they're probably good now, so don't come for me. But I went and I got this really cute, like, white marble desk, and it had like gold trim on it, and I loved it. But it was kind of small, and I felt cramped, and I felt like I wanted, you know, more space. I am in my closet, so I have to be economical with space. So I got this like L-shaped desk, and it lights up. It's always red, and I love it. But now with our endeavors, and I feel like in general, I'm doing more filming of myself. Yes. And I want to stream more for games and stuff and like community on TikTok and like all that stuff too. So I need to just go back to what I did when I twitched and be like, yeah, I'm taking things seriously again.
I love it.
Gotta get good. Yeah. Gotta get good.
Oh, by the way, this may be of interest to you. Our mutual friend, Sam Liebel, has said that he has figured out how to host lives from Substack on his desktop.
I bet he's using Streamlabs or OBS or one of them.
I think probably like it shows use your stream key or whatever. That's as much as I know. But I think he just figured it out or something. So I'll have to pick his brain.
Yeah. Because I tried to do it with TikTok because I was so annoyed with their stupid ass grid not letting me get it go away.
So ugly.
I only have one friend here, okay? And it's not on purpose. I have other friends, okay? Mm-hmm. And just one friend and I are talking about their stuff. Why are they tiny? And why can't you see my screen? So I tried. Anyway. I tried to use Streamlabs and it kept asking for a key. And then when I kept trying to find it, it wasn't giving it to me. And then the desktop on here and my phone weren't like communicating. So on my phone, it didn't even look like I was live. It was just like, you're just here. So
watch, you'll need a new phone too. We have costly impact on each other. This is an expensive hobby.
I mean, I don't blame you for me starting a business. Okay. I don't blame you. I had that idea and it was going to happen whether you were enthusiastic or not. Your enthusiasm was a catalyst, of course, but it's good because what's happening is good. And I don't feel as like depresso, you know, which is like good. A big thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's expensive.
It is.
And you were already in the trenches yourself. So maybe you were like, come on down, girl. But
it was my fault.
But then with the podcast and stuff, remember when we were like, oh, we'll just use this as a tool to like, you know, promote ourselves and like talk and not really put too much thought into it. You know, we were like very much ready to be just like super casual in the community. And now we're like, I need the top of the line and I need it now. And if I don't get the top of the line, then everybody's going to think I'm a poser, which I started out being. Okay. I started out being a poser, but now I do not want to be a poser.
Oh my God. We're not posers. Okay. We've never been posers.
Yeah. I know that. And you know that, but the world.
Do they know that? Yeah.
they gotta know. You can't fake this. This is high class right here. Uh-huh. High class anarchists.
Yes.
So tell me, because I'm ready.
Oh yeah.
Okay. So tell me. So I had, what was the name of that publishing company again that you were
Conduit Books. And not to be confused with the US Conduit Books. There's an unfortunate overlap between a UK and a US publishing house. And yeah.
That stinks because the US one is probably like, no, we don't do AI. And this other one is like, we only do AI.
Yeah. Oh, wait. This is the, no. I'm so sorry. This is the all male publishing house.
Oh, okay. Well, that's also icky. I think like, okay. And I saw somebody make a comment that said something on your post that said, if it was all women, we would say how empowering it is, right?
I almost said the name. Yes, someone did say that.
I restrained myself, but
I did too.
And I think it's honestly because the platform we were on has a word or character limit. So I can't say my dissertation. I have to like cram it on a couple of sentences. But we are allowed as women to feel empowered because there was a time where we weren't allowed to read or write. So it is an empowering thing by its nature that an all women run, owned, whatever exists in general. Men have been able to own and write a lot longer. Now, the peasant of it all. Okay. Okay. We're all small folk, men and women. So I don't think we all should get hung up on all this and all that anymore. You know what I mean? Like, I think just in general, I get an icky feeling of like a one gender club. I'm like, you know, yes, we should have our own spaces for sure, but we shouldn't be like, oh, this is just for this one group. That's always icky to me, unless it's like I want a girl Uber driver, and I do. So I want to just get an all-girl Uber driver. That'd be great because it's been creepy out there. But, you know, publishing, a little different.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I feel the same. I feel similarly.
I see you typing. I see you looking up some facts.
I didn't. Yeah. So I think you were trying to go down the route of what is that publishing house's name that boldly claimed that they were going to write 8,000 titles in a year with AI exclusively. And the name of that publishing house or platform is Spines.
Because they don't have the words. They only have the outers, you know? I cannot think of a word. Outers is fine. Okay.
Shell.
The shell. Oh, that's good. They only have the shell. Could you imagine that I was like writing something and I was sitting there for so long? I would have sat there in front of my Word document and been like, what's a term? And I would have put outers in there. I definitely would have. But
yeah,
called Spines. And I just don't love that, honestly.
No.
Why? Who had the idea to that thought? So are they just using generative AI? Like they're typing in a topic and there's not going to be a byline, like the byline's going to say ChatGPT, or is it going to say like, oh, Brad put in, wizard finds lonely woman by the lake, and then a book gets written?
That's why men write better romance books. Sorry. I digress. So I guess Spines is also, there's some relationship, I think, to like a tech publishing platform. So it's a publishing house, but I also think it's the software. So I think they're doing this as a stunt to roll it out to get people to pay for their AI subscription. There are a bunch of them. There's like, what was the really What was the one that NaNoWriMo, National Novel Writing Month, got in trouble for? Was it Pro Writing Aid?
I think so, but they also got in trouble for other scandalous things that had to do with minors. So
yes,
I think it's
we do not do that no more.
Yeah. Yeah. And it sucked because my friend told me, oh, do NaNoWriMo this year. And I had never participated before. They were talking all about this community. And I get ready and I just type into TikTok, right? I'm like, NaNoWriMo hashtag, right? And then I find out all this salacious, scandalous everything. And I'm like, oh, okay, great, I guess. So that's disappointing. But the AI of it all is tricky because we've been having AI as a part of society for a long time now. But I feel like they all... Have you watched Silicon Valley? Oh, I think you would like it. It's funny. I'm trying to remember the cast. I think a couple of the cast members have been found to be like creepy and lame, but it's okay. It's just everybody's coming
out. Separate art from artist. Yeah.
Everybody's coming out like that. But they all work on an algorithm, right? And like, that's the whole thing of the show is like this kid or man comes up with like a really great algorithm. And then this big CEO is like trying to take it and like take ownership and stuff. Anyway, that's what kind of feels like with all these AI programs that have just like sprouted up kind of out of nowhere. Like they were all fighting for this algorithm. I don't know if that's the correct term. I'm not the techie one in the room. They all come up with this thing and they all are racing to get it out there. So it's like you have Gemini and then you have...
Yes.
I mean, I guess Siri's been around forever now. And then you have... You know what I mean? Like you have all of these different ones that are trying to be the better version. And now it's coming into the art sphere. And I don't love that.
No, neither of us do. I'm right there with you. Spines is saying that they can shorten the time to publishing to like 2 to 3 weeks. It says right here that it's offering AI assisted services such as everything that we do, editing, proofreading, formatting and design, and the distribution. So it's also positioning itself to like get KDP and Barnes and Noble kind of out of there.
Yeah.
So authors pay between $1,200 and $5,000 for these services. And then the company promises to reduce the time from manuscript to pub, just 2 to 3 weeks. Spines claims that authors retain 100% of their royalties and positions itself as an alternative to trad pub and self pub.
But okay, if you are giving your work, right? So it doesn't sound like they're writing a book necessarily. It sounds like you're bringing in your crappy first draft. And we can all say all first drafts are crappy. You don't want 100%. Them to be crappy, but they're crappy.
I was just talking to my cousin the other day. She's writing her first draft of something. And I was letting her know, listen, my first draft, when I sent it to my beta readers, thank God they were my friends. But like the feedback was, why is every other scene at a dinner party? And I'm just like, I'm hungry. I don't know. Like, yeah, like there's a lot of things that can go wrong in a first draft.
Yeah. Or it's like, I remember my first draft. Like, I mean, it was only a couple months ago that I finished it. But it's like when I went back, I remember getting so burnt out from reading and rereading. And then I saw somebody say like, no, it's just going to be trash no matter what you do. So just freaking write it. And I was like, fine. So I did it. And then I go back and I look at it and I'm like, why is Jade like one dimensional? She's my main character. Like, what did I do to her? So I've like really had to like dive deep. But if I just gave that to these guys or people, whatever, Spines, that's their name. If I just gave it to them like that, I don't think AI could change my one-dimensional problem that I have, because that's a writer's craft, right? Like, it's still going to sound one-dimensional no matter what you do. And then people aren't going to buy it. So what money am I making? I'm not making anything. I'm giving my money to this pyramid scheme for them to say, oh, your book's done. And it's not, because it's still trash and one dimensional because maybe it's a first draft.
Maybe that's why they will allow you to keep all of your royalties, because there won't be very many.
Yeah. They're like, oh, you know, we're just going to push it out because book talk culture took over and everybody's trying to ride the gravy train for it. And you can't. You just can't be like that. And there's pushback from readers. But I was listening to this podcast. I forget what it's called. It's a writer's podcast. And they were talking about how so many headlines are clickbaity, but also AI generated and
yes,
actually kind of shitty sounding. So you don't want to read it because it sounds stupid, honestly.
Yeah, they bank on outrage catching attention. It's just the same. It's the same principle as hate watching something. So we're talking a little bit about like AI using its powers for evil in the publishing process and article headlines and things like that. My fear is kind of like the opposite end of what you're saying. Like, yeah, it may be shitty output generally, like by volume, but working in IT and seeing people who know how to prompt create some pretty amazing things, not necessarily in the writing world, but like pretty easily, like things that were very difficult or resource intensive before. My fear is that we're not too far from being able to make something pretty palatable writing wise, just like we've made those vast improvements on the art side too, unfortunately. Now, like hands are not such a big issue. This is something that I wrote down to talk to you about, actually. I've noticed on TikTok that like a bunch of authors, they're including these art prints and that sort of thing as like add-ons to their product, to their books. People love them. And I'm positive that they're AI created. I've reached out to some of them saying, well, obviously I'm working on some projects and I would love to hire some artists.
Yeah.
To do some work. And I've received like no responses, whether it's a private message or whether it's comments on what they're doing. And it's kind of like, we're just not saying the quiet parts out loud. We're just not admitting to it. But people are okay with consuming, paying for AI generated art or writing.
Yeah, like, I think they're okay with something to be instant gratification. And that if you're working on a book, As a writer, I think I can get all consumed with when I'm working on a project. Like I was working on the story, Ellen Poe's Part 2. And there was stuff happening around me that I should have probably been focused on too in my realm of Indie Creator Collective. I should have been, you know, really talking about the mini collection coming out and really like boosting that. But I was so focused on my story, I'm not thinking about all these other moving pieces. So I'm wondering if these other authors are so focused on their book, they're not planning their time to contact an artist, or they don't have the money to do so. And they just want to get the book out because that's what we want at the end of the day. We want our idea out there. We want to please the readers. We want to do things for them and be successful with what we're good at. Most writers are not good at art stuff. Some are, but I know I'm not. And it is a temptation to be like, well, I wonder what my character would look like, or I wonder what would happen. What could inspire me by this scene? And I've seen a lot of authors say that. And I don't know enough about it to be like, is there even a platform out there that I could do that isn't detrimental to artists? Because I don't want to take stuff away from our fellow creatives. I just don't want to do that.
To my knowledge, there is not, unfortunately. But I had another good conversation with another author who's on the opposite side of this debate just the other day. And he was saying like he wants to let someone into the world that he created. Like that is a temptation because it's so satisfying to be able to connect on that level in ways that we haven't been able to before.
And I have to say, I was a sucker for those dark fantasy AI trailers when they changed like they'd made like everything into a dark fantasy and everything looked like legend. And I was like, I love this and I want more of this. But then I didn't realize like what I was actually consuming because I was like, who's making this? Like I like went deeper into it. But a part of me is like, I want to know that like I'd love my book to become a movie. So I don't want my book to be an AI generated movie before the movie or show could exist. You know what I mean? So that's tricky. But I don't know. I have so many artist friends that are struggling and, you know, they want to do what they love just like we want to do what we love. So I don't think I could personally cross that line. And even with freebies and stuff that I'm sending, everything is sourced appropriately. People are paid appropriately. And I know you do the same. So it's possible out there. And honestly, it looks better. People, this is going to be the spicy take of it. if your cover is AI generated, it's very noticeable. Unless you're using, especially if you're trying to make it look like a real person on your cover, you know, like, and I'm not trying to give AI tips, okay? But if you just typed in like watercolor or sketch and you didn't type in like photograph of beautiful woman being, I almost said being choked, but you know.
We know what Jess is reading.
But you know, you don't type that in. It's very glaringly obvious. And as somebody who appreciates art, and I go to art museums everywhere I go, like that's a thing that's on the list. Every country I go to, I'm like, I want to go to this museum. Like in Iceland, I really wanted to go to the penis museum. And I went there and I saw the penis art and I loved it. And I just feel like I can tell, and it's off-putting. Like I wouldn't want that on my shelf. Now, I know that's not everybody's opinion, and I don't want to take away from authors' meals out there, you know?
That's the other thing I wanted to talk about. It's like, who can blame anyone for trying to get that colloquial bag in these weird times that we live in?
Yeah, and it's kind of like my dad was explaining it to me in like terms of Ford, right? When the assembly line came out,
and
the new cars, and how it put a lot of people out of work because things shifted. But then I retorted and I said, but that is a machine. And I know that humans were doing the work before, but they're just doing something to create a machine. They're not doing something to create art or the human experience. Like, I feel like that at the end of the day, that's what all art is. It's the human experience, writing anything. So
the rub is that art and writing has become so commoditized that it's like a machine. Like marketing houses, marketing firms, publishing has even, like every industry has gotten so much more productive, and nobody doing the labor has seen that compensation. Sorry to go back to anti-capitalist rants, but
no, but that's so, it's so true. Like so this is another thing to bring up, like tariffs in China and everything. An economist. I know what I'm talking about.
It's okay. Friday.
An economist got on and he was like, we don't want to go back to manufacturing in the United States because we have bred our people here on wanting to be innovators and a part of the service industry, the creators, the collaborators, not the crafters of industrialized nations. Like, we want to be the CEOs. Everybody's trying to be a CEO. Businesses, all this stuff. And when that happens and that oversaturation happens here in particular, people are left wondering, when is it my turn? And what AI and any innovation does is make you believe it's your turn right now, right? You could do it too. Maybe. Maybe you can't, though, if you're not good at making a prompt. I don't know. I don't feel too threatened in the writing realm of things yet, but I do feel it encroaching, like a little parasite coming in and it telling us, oh, it's okay. It's okay. Let me in. I'm going to make it easier. I'll make it better.
Like a vampire at the window.
Yeah. Just being like, hey, let me in. But like
it's a little leech.
Sexy. I don't know. Because why is it that every AI generated thing has to have like be over-sexualized? I mean, just like,
oh yeah. You mean like the art and stuff like that?
Yeah, like the art.
Yeah.
Art in particular.
Bosoms galore.
Yeah. Or like the guy is just like, it's very male gaze. Okay.
But yeah.
And it's just like the guy's like, and the girl's like a waif. Okay. Like, God forbid she be above 110 pounds. And God forbid she have anything but white hair unless you specify. I don't know what it is. Because I've, like, you see all these things and you have to, I could go.
Hell on. Yeah, sister. Yeah, we're on the same train of thought.
And that's why, not to segue into something completely different, but that's why I hate, no, I don't hate it, but Marvel Rivals grinds my gears as a gamer.
Ooh, tell me.
So I play a lot of Overwatch and I play a lot of Marvel Rivals and I play a lot of Phasmophobia. Okay. And this is the point. Okay. So with phasmophobia, you have like Sims hunting ghosts is what it looks like. It's just that graphic level and everybody's fully covered. And it's, and it, you know, they're doing their ghost job. No one is like trying to sex up these ghosts. Okay. They're just doing their job. In Overwatch, of course, you have a little bit of salacious skin showing. There's a character, Widow, who I love. And I just sometimes look at her and all of her skins because she's the cutest skin. And she's a hot lady and she's a sniper. Very, you know, I love it. It's great. She's also mostly clothed. Then you have Marvel Rivals. And I know the comic industry has had the basement dweller jokes for a long time. And I also appreciate that comics and the industry can be very feminist because of empowering these women superheroes, standing up for themselves. They've always been a great industry for that. Now, can they do this clothed? That would be great. So this character, Emma Frost, was dropped. And
I love Emma. I love Emma Frost.
Yeah. First outfit. Great. What's her first skin? She's pretty much naked. And she just was dropped. And it's just like, it's not even like, it just bothers me because none of the guys' dicks are bouncing. Okay. But all the girls' boobs somehow are bouncing and they're standing still.
Classic.
Anyway. Sorry, I had a little bit there too. I
needed to get... Yeah, to unleash. Yeah, it's almost like I think what you're trying to say is like you're not even building up to the nudity. The nudity is just front and center for certain characters only.
Yeah, and I'm not saying I want it to be equal. Like, I don't want to see a half-naked man on Marvel Rivals. Like, I'm not asking for that, but I am asking for, like, maybe, like, some women are there to be like, hey, this skin is so badass, but maybe her boobs don't need to have like a mind of their own and just like jiggle randomly, you know? Like, I don't know. But
we need a jiggle setting.
Yeah. They said something when it was like the jiggle code or something for Emma Frost because she is like she's so like thick and beautiful and like her thighs like jiggle like the I forget what yeah
jeez
and this isn't even like video games do this all the time. You can get mods all the time for your games.
Yeah,
if you want them to look a certain way, like that's totally fine. Sorry, I didn't mean to make this about gaming, but the AI of it all made me think about all this, and that just is what happens.
I appreciate it. Yeah,
but then the men complain about romance novels.
Please, let's talk about this because I'm on TikTok. I saw what happened.
Yeah. My original post was on Substack or Note. They call it Notes. So my original note was on Substack because I just read this article and I was like, oh, okay. Like he's frustrated because he hasn't like found some success and he feels like romance finds success easier, which is understandable because it is a most popular genre, but give it credit where it's due. It's popular for a reason and it's just the way it is. And then I kept seeing it over and over again. I was like, is Substack playing with me? Like, what is going on? Is it trying to bait me into like burning all my bridges from I've only been here for like 6 months. Like, what is happening? And then I made a post about it on TikTok because I was like, I just can't deal with this because of yet another. And I'm not hating on the men. OK, but if
we love the men,
we love the men. All the men came into my comments and defended romance. And it was so beautiful, such a beautiful thing. But I did keep seeing the naysayers within that community, and they were saying things like, oh, nobody pays attention to me because I don't have tits. No one's paying attention to me because I'm a man in a writing world and nobody wants to read what I'm writing, and like all this stuff. And then bashing shadow daddies and bashing tropes and bashing this, which in an intelligent conversation makes sense. But a rant does not make sense. Because you're going to meet people like me who are like, your writing probably sucks. If you don't think romance is a necessary thing, I don't understand how you're writing. Like, because
you're also probably a shitty lover.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's true, too. And I get it. Like, this male loneliness epidemic is a thing. Okay. And I'm not your face.
I know. We want to get into the red pillars, but probably
we
not.
Can another time. I'm definitely ready. Like, I've been ready to fight with them since I've been rage baited back like 3 years ago. I'm ready to go toe to toe. That's fine. Especially since I'm married to like the greenest flag I think that ever existed on this earth.
Love
so
it.
It's like, what do you have to say to me? Nothing. So I make this post saying that their writing is probably like breadsticks. Okay. Like old Greg, dry, stiff like a breadstick. And, I got one man that came in and said, me, my writing bad. Think about shadow daddies. And then I'm like, yeah, there's a Naruto character and he is the original for me shadow daddy.
Oh, okay.
His abilities, ninja ability. I can't remember anything. So all the weebs are going to say I'm a poser. And I already told you I'm not a poser. I just can't pronounce things. I think I have a speech impediment. Okay. Anyway, he just can hold people by the shadows. It's very cool.
Nice.
And
hot.
I immediately was like, kinky. I think I was like 16 and I was like, I'm awakening. Something's happening. But anyway, he came in and he was all like shitting on shadow daddies. And I get it because ACOTAR and like everybody saw ACOTAR and was like, I need to write me a shadow daddy. And now I'm obsessed with shadow daddies because I just read about an amazing shadow daddy. So now I have to like go in.
Wait, is ACOTAR shadow daddy? I thought they were fairies.
Oh, he is the Lord of the Night. He is very much. And then there's another character, Azriel, that is definitely a shadow spy. But we don't have to get into that either. But I think men saw A Court of Thorns and Roses get popular in the last few years, let's say. And were wondering, you know, then thinking all that book was is sex, 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 sex. But it's not, because there's literally maybe like three erotic scenes until you get to the last book. And then it kind of goes a little bit crazy, but there's still a lot of story. But everybody has a different spice level and women talk about it all the time. And we talk about it in a nice, sure way, usually, unless it's a pick me situation. And she comes in and says, I'm just like one of those girls that like doesn't like romance, I guess. I'm just one of the few women that doesn't like romance. Actually, I prefer male authors. And I was like, do you want us to clap for you? Like, I just honestly had no idea. I almost thought she was a bot, honestly. Went to her page. What does she have? First video? Jane Austen. Okay. Look at her next video. Oh, you're in the middle of writing a romantasy? Oh.
She can do it better, just like those men can do it better, because she's learned from the best.
Learned from the best. Oh, my gosh. Oh, it's so infuriating. Because, like, with a man, you kind of expect it because the plight. Because they don't know. It's like white person privilege, too. It's a learning thing. Like, I don't trust anybody I sit with that says they've never been a hater. You didn't come out of the womb perfect, okay? You didn't crown and go, I love everybody. That's not what happened. You learned how to do it.
The crowning got me. Did you see where? Yeah.
Yeah.
It was the crowning that got me. I love it.
So I am going to trust a person that says, yeah, I used to be racist. I used to be sexist. I used to really believe in these ideologies, but I unlearned it because I realized that it was hatred, judgmental, and I didn't know it because I lived in a bubble of people like it. And then you get out of the bubble and you realize it. And that's growth as a white person, right?
And it's ever ongoing, right? Like,
yeah,
you're constantly having to relearn things. And I think that's part of it. Like, to have the character component, sorry, D&D, I don't know, to have the character component that you're open, adaptable, flexible, open to learning, like that will serve a person way better than thinking they're right all the time.
Exactly. And like, if somebody is coming in and thinking like they know everything about a genre, they know everything about a woman's talent, or they're going to lump in everybody together. Now, I'm not lumping in all men. It sounds like it. If this is hitting you in the soul.
We added a clause to the beginning. We said that we like men.
We do. we have a lot of good author men in our lives. We have a lot of personal relationships in our lives. It's nothing like, it's never all or nothing. I hate blanket statements, but you have to bring stuff up to bring it to the attention. Because if you're living in the bubble, like I'll use my husband as an example because he's a good sport. But sometimes he doesn't know why I don't want to go to the gas station at 10 o'clock at night. Because why would that matter, right? Like, that's not something he lives with. Now that I've talked to him about it and kind of brought it up, like, what do you think? I don't want to go by myself. Then he's like, oh, like, it's like an aha moment that they have. And you got to keep having those aha moments. I have aha moments every single day because the internet is a double-edged sword. It sucks. And then it also is an amazing learning tool and an amazing place for connection. So use it correctly, too. So.
Isn't it weird? Like, it starts out offline because everybody has their team, whether it's sports or whether it's politics or anything else. Everybody has their side and it's one side pit against the other. It's very much giving bread and circuses. And then it's exacerbated by the internet, by algorithms on social media platforms, by the bubbles that we're living in, the people that we're talking to. And we all reinforce each other's habits in our circles. And it's nearly impossible to break out of them. You have to really significantly try, I feel like. And I feel like there's no good answer provided to us on how to do that.
No. And like, that's what makes a part of you go like, well, I'm trying, I guess. And like, I think my first experience with, because I think everybody has an experience where they think, oh, yeah, I am. I'm perfect. Not that I think I'm perfect. Okay. This is weird.
You are,
like,
though.
No. It's like, but where you think you're done, kind of like in your 20s, like when you're like 28 or something, you're like, I'm done. Like, I went to college. I know all these people. I'm an adult. I'm paying bills. You know, I'm doing what I can. And then you get like kind of smacked in the face with like truth. And White Woman Whisperer was the smack in the face for me. Her account really was like the account that didn't pull punches towards like the community that I'm in, you know, like I'm a part of that community. And at first I was like triggered because I was like, no, I've done the work. Okay. I've shadow worked. I've done everything. I am not one of those that you're talking about. And then my gut reaction was to argue. And then I realized, well, if I'm defensive right now, what have I not done? What am I feeling insecure about? Because I'm obviously insecure that I'm not showing up to the people I care about in my life, that I am like offending people, like with not meaning to, that I'm looking ignorant. So then I just kept watching and listening and like being a part of like discussions and stuff. And then I realized like, that's kind of, you know, the male loneliness epidemic is a similar thing. Like, sit with yourself. What is causing you to be defensive? What can you shift? And if you feel like you are a specimen, perfect, 10 out of 10, 5-star man, whatever. I mean, if you truly believed that, you wouldn't get triggered by random chicks on the internet.
Mm-hmm. Tough cookies for you.
I like how we brought it back to Red Pill. We can't help it. We can't help it. All right. So my dog is shitting all over the floor. I gotta go. I'll see you later. This has been BAM. Now you know everything. I'm Jara Phillips.
I'm Nico Harlikendon, and we appreciate you listening.
Should I say bye? I don't know.
You know, you live, you learn, whatever.